Welcome to the First Baptist Melbourne Sermon Podcast. Our mission is simple, making disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God. Each week, we dive into God's Word together, discovering timeless truths that shape our faith and everyday lives. Let's join today's message.
Well, Happy New Year, church. And it is so good to be together as a church family to start off 2026 together. I'm excited about next week as we'll jump back in to our study of the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. We're going to pick up where we left off last year in this new series called The Climb. And as the video we just watched talked about, it's going to be a study about the falls, the rises that we have, we experience, all of us do in our faith journey. And I believe the Lord has so much that he wants to show us in the book of Genesis again starting next week. Today, this first Sunday of the new year, is, as Pastor David mentioned, our Vision and Covenant Sunday. And this is going to be a great day as well, because today we have the opportunity to look back, as we already have early in our service, on the year that was, and praise God for it. And it's right that we do that. But also we have an opportunity today to look ahead to 2026 and to dream together about what could be, about what the Lord wants to do in our lives and in and through our church. And so with that in mind, if you have your Bible today, and I hope you do, would you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, as the title of this book suggests, this letter was written by the Apostle Peter, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, in many ways the leader of the 12, for sure the most outspoken of the 12. Most people believe that Peter wrote this second epistle while he was in prison in Rome, shortly before he would be crucified upside down by the Roman Emperor Nero. Many have called this letter Peter's last will and testament. He's writing to believers who are mostly Gentile believers who are scattered across an area that was then called Asia Minor, that today is the modern-day country of Turkey. But of course, Peter's letter is in our Bibles because it was not just written for those believers who first read it 2,000 years ago. It was written by the pen of the Lord, by the Spirit of our God. It was intended for every believer in every age, including every believer in this room on this January Sunday in the year 2026. And so let's read the opening verses of this letter together. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you today for this portion of your word. We ask on this first Sunday of the year, God, would you speak to us? Would you help us today to hear your voice and to be obedient to your word and to trust in your son, Jesus Christ, in all things? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I prayed about this message today and what the Lord would have me to share with you, church, on this first Sunday of the new year, he led me to three very simple prayer requests that I believe just arise out of this text that we've just read. As I stopped and read over these three prayer requests, they're really very simple, very basic, but they're also at the heart of what our whole mission is as a church family. These three requests are what I'm asking God to do this year in 2026, and these three requests are what I would ask that we would all be praying about and ask the Lord to do in and through our church. And so first of all, I believe our prayer for our church, for First Baptist Melbourne, should be that we would be a place where more and more people come to know Jesus Christ. You know, the main theme of this letter that we call 2 Peter is Peter's warning to these Christians about false teachers who are trying to come into the church and lead the people astray. Now, we don't know from the letter everything that these false teachers taught. We know they were mocking the idea of Christ's return. We know that they were twisting the scriptures, Peter says, to say things that the scriptures really didn't say. We know that their lifestyles, that the lifestyles of these false teachers was the opposite of the way Jesus lived, which proved that the things that they were saying were not true. And you know, this is not an irrelevant concern for those of us who live in this century of the church, is it? False teaching. In some ways, the danger of false teaching is greater than it has ever been. Because false teachers don't even need to come into our local church anymore. All they have to do is pop up on your YouTube feed. Now, with that said, I'm not completely against online teaching. After all, this worship service, I think, is on YouTube, like right now. Our services are every week online. But in general, I will just say this. The theology of Christians in America today would be far healthier if we spent less time watching YouTube and more time reading our Bibles. So as you get deeper into this letter, Peter talks about that. He warns these Christians about false teachers. But here in these opening verses of this letter, he wants to just remind them about the grace of God that changed their lives. He wants to remind them about how they came to the knowledge of God, because ultimately the best antidote to wrong doctrine is knowing right doctrine really well. I love how this letter starts out in verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter says that he's writing to people who have obtained like precious faith with him. People who have received the same kind of faith in the same beautiful Savior that Peter had. That includes me. That includes every Christian who is in this room. We have the same faith in the same Savior. Notice it says that we have obtained it. That word means that we have not earned it, but rather we have received it. That our faith, our salvation, has been given to us as a gift by the grace of God. We did not earn it, we received it. Or as Peter says at the end of this verse, it was given to us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And by the way, that last phrase there in verse 1 is one of the strongest statements about the deity of Jesus Christ that you will find in the New Testament. Because the way that that original Greek is constructed, it is very clear that he's not talking about two different people. He's saying that Jesus Christ is both our God and our Savior. And praise God that he is. And when you come down to verses 2, 3, and 4, Peter continues to unpack for them and for us just how precious our salvation really is. In verse 2, he prays that grace and peace would be multiplied to them. Grace and peace are two common words used in Christian greetings, but those are two beautiful words. We have grace because of God's saving grace that he's given to us in Christ. We have peace with God, again, because of what Jesus did on the cross to pay for our sins, to make a way for us to have peace. And Peter is praying that that grace and peace would be multiplied as they grew in the knowledge of the Lord. I pray that would happen in our life this year. We would experience more of his grace and his peace as we grow in the knowledge of Christ. In verse 3, Peter says this also, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. I love those words, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The New Living Translation puts it like this, God has given us everything that we need. God has given us everything that we need, and he has. I'm sure everybody in here at some point or another has ordered something, maybe off of Amazon, maybe from IKEA. I don't know any IKEA lovers here today. And you get that package in the mail, and you have to build it, you have to construct it. And sometimes it can be really frustrating because you pull out the instructions and you need like 17 different tools to build this thing. And none of them are in the box. And you're thinking, I didn't know that I had to own a Home Depot in order to build this thing that you just mailed me. But at other times, it's a lot easier because other times, maybe it says you need, two tools. You need like an Allen wrench and you need a little screwdriver. And it includes in the box the Allen wrench that's the size that you need and the screwdriver that you need. And sometimes right there on the box or right there on the instruction sheet, it will even say all tools needed for assembly are included. That's a beautiful phrase. Because that means that you don't need to go anywhere else. You don't need to go get anything else. It's all included. Christian, when God delivered to you the beautiful, gracious box of your salvation, it said right there on the box, it says right here in his instruction manual that we just read, that everything you need is already in the box. You don't have to go anywhere else. You don't need anything else by virtue of his divine power that lives in you through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. You and I have everything that we need to live a life that pleases God. It says we have all we need for eternal life. That's eternal life now and eternal life forever. And all that we need to live a godly life that pleases the Lord. That is great news at the start of 2026. That means that you don't have to climb some mountain and meet with some guru at the top of it in order to live a life that pleases God this year. You don't have to go find some secret book other than this one that's going to unlock for you how to live a life that pleases God. You don't need to go find some special conference in order to do that. He's already given you and me everything we need to live a God-honoring, God-glorifying, God-pleasing life in 2026. In verse 4, Peter adds to that by saying this, by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I wish we had time to unpack this more, but just very quickly, even just going in reverse order in that verse, he reminds us that when we were saved, we escaped the corruption of this decaying, rotting carcass of a world that is one day going to face God's judgment. He tells us here amazingly that we also share in the divine nature. What a phrase. That doesn't mean that we become little gods, but it does mean that by his grace, we increasingly become like the Lord as we walk with Jesus. And then he reminds us at the start of that verse that we have been given by God exceedingly great and precious promises. And think about how great those promises are. The promise of the forgiveness of sins, that your debt has been wiped clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, now and forever. The promise of always having a part in the family of God. The promise of a new heaven and a new earth. The promise that even right now in your life, nothing is going to happen in your life that isn't a part of his plan to make you more like Jesus Christ. God could not have done more than he's already done, or more than he has promised to do in the future. All of this and more is ours because of the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But with that in mind, I want you to look at this map behind me real quick. And you'll probably recognize it. It's a map of our county, Brevard County. Some people also call our county the Space Coast. Did you know that right now, the population of Brevard County is 670,000 people. growing every year. Studies indicate that 3/4 of that population do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you do the math on that, and engineers in here can help me, that means there's about 500,000, 500,000 lost people who are in our mission field right now in the Space Coast. Here's the point. They don't have any of the things that we just got done talking about. They have not yet obtained a like precious faith that Peter has and that I have and that I pray you have. They don't know the grace of God. They don't have peace with God. They have not been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power does not reside in them. They have not escaped the corruption of this world. Rather, they are still inside the burning building of this world that God's judgment is racing quickly upon. They do not have the exceedingly great and precious promises of God in their hearts. They do not have the knowledge of God. They do not have the hope of God. And we who know Christ have the only hope that can be offered to them. The glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who saves and frees every person who believes. And church, my heart rejoices. It really does. When I think about the more than 140 people who were baptized this past year and another that we just watched this morning. My heart rejoices in that. But I want you to hear these numbers. 1,218 people are moving to Florida every day. 30 of them are moving to Brevard County every day. You do the math on that. 30 people a day moving to our county. That means in a week's time, by the time we meet here again next Sunday, more people will have moved to the Space Coast than all the people we baptized as a church in the entirety of last year. What is my point? My point is that the job is not over. And the job won't be over until the trumpet sounds. Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest. And they are. People are hungry for truth. And people are hungry for hope. And in this little corner of his kingdom, he has called you and me to be prepared to share a reason for the hope that we have. And we need to move on, but very quickly, I just want to share a couple ways that we can do that. And the easiest, for sure the easiest, is just simply to invite people to come with you to church. To ask people, do you have a church home? Tell them how excited you are about what God is doing here. Invite them to come. Carry some of those invite cards with you. We're going to be making those throughout the year, tied to every sermon series that we're doing. Carry some of those with you. Hand them out. You never know how God will use that. That simple act. And that's my prayer, that we would always have an inviting culture in our church. That we would always be reaching out, thinking about that person that moved in next door. Do they know the Lord or do they not? And simply inviting them. But you know, sometimes people won't receive that invitation to come to church. Sometimes, maybe because of just where they're at or something that's happened to them in the past, they're not going to come with you to church. We need to take the church to them. And if God were to give you an opportunity this next week to do that, to share about Jesus with someone, would you feel equipped to be ready to do that? To be ready to share with them the plan of salvation and lead them to receive that gift of Jesus into their heart? Would you know and be equipped on how to do that? If you would say, I'm not really sure. Well, I just want to remind us of a simple tool that we use here called Three Circles. You'll see behind me the app that you can just type in to the app store, Life on Mission. And I encourage you today, download that app, watch that video. It'll take you 2 minutes to watch it. Watch it, learn it, practice it. And pray that God will give you a chance to share it. Even sometime this next week with someone who does not know the Lord. Let's pray this year that more and more people would come to know Christ. But secondly, church, let's pray that more and more people this year would grow in Christ as well. That's what Peter talks about next at the beginning of this letter. Look at it with me in verse 5. He says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now notice he starts out saying, for this very reason. For what very reason? For the reason of everything you just got done talking about in verses 1-4. For everything that God has done for us by his grace, for that reason, in verses 5-7, Peter basically says we should grow in Christ. In other words, we shouldn't be just comfortable with where we are. We shouldn't be complacent. We shouldn't think that we have, spiritually speaking, arrived. We should not be idle. We should not be taking a spiritual nap. No, Peter says we need to get moving and we need to get growing. And I love how Peter says in verse 5 that we should give all diligence to this effort. The New English Bible puts it like this: try your hardest. Try your hardest. And that really is the idea here. Now, with that said, we of course have to remember what we just talked about in verses 1-4, that ultimately our spiritual growth is only possible because of the presence of Jesus Christ in our life. It's only because of his divine power that ultimately we are able to grow. And so we don't want to forget that. We don't want to think that spiritual growth is going to happen just by our own self-efforts. But we also don't want to forget what God just told us in verse 5, that with the divine power that he gives to us through his Holy Spirit, God wants us to make every effort to grow as Christians, to give it a max effort. Let me ask you something. If you were to look back on the year 2025, the year that just ended 4 days ago, and your spiritual life, would it be accurate to say that you have given maximum effort to seeking to grow as a follower of Jesus Christ? That just like a weightlifter tries to get a max on their bench press, that you've given maximum effort, maximum energy, maximum attention to pursuing after Christ this past year? Or would you have to be honest enough to say today, you know, I really didn't do that? As I look at 2025, I mean, I was in church very sporadically, if at all. I basically came whenever I had a totally free weekend with nothing else going on. I really didn't read my Bible very much. It kind of sat on the shelf most of the time. I didn't pray very much. I just, when I'd run out the door in the morning, I'd say a few hurried prayers. Maybe at night as I was drifting off to sleep, I'd say a prayer, but I never even prayed for more than 10 or 15 minutes at a time, any time during the year. If that is what you would say, Christian, I just want to encourage you with this. This is a new year, and the mercies of God are new every morning. You and I have been given a gift by God. We are alive to see 2026. And he's given us another year to pursue him. And let's pursue him with the divine power that he has given, with a maximum effort. Now, what would that look like? Well, Peter gives us an idea of what it looks like right here in these verses. He's writing to believers who already have faith, and he's encouraging them, and he's encouraging us to work on adding some things to our faith. Literally, he says, supplement your faith with these 7 things. And so, in other words, in the morning, the most important supplements that you take are not vitamin C and vitamin B12. They're these 7 virtues that Peter says, supplement your faith with these. First of all, he says, supplement your faith with virtue. Virtue is moral excellence. It's character that looks like Jesus when people are watching you and when they're not. Secondly, he says, supplement your faith with knowledge. That word refers to practical wisdom for life. We only gain that wisdom by spending time in the written word of God and spending time with the living word of God, who is the wisdom of God. Next, Peter says, add to your knowledge self-control. You might notice that, like many of the other items on this list, self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, according to the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5. how deeply we need the fruit of self-control in the church today. The ability to control by God's power our fleshly desires and appetites and bring everything into submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Peter says, add to your self-control perseverance. Perseverance is faith that will not give up no matter what. Of course, we need to remember what James told us. In James chapter 1, he said that sometimes we have to go through trials in order to develop perseverance. He said, count it all joy when you face trials of various kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Peter says, add to your perseverance godliness. Godliness is reverence and devotion to God. It's kind of hard to define godliness, but you know it when you see it. You know it when you're around someone who loves God more than they love anything else. Someone who fears God. Someone who wants to please God in all that they do. Peter says, add to that godliness, brotherly kindness, and then finally, add to that love. Now, to be clear, when we look at this list of seven virtues, we need to remember this is not an exhaustive list. I don't think Peter is saying these are the only seven things that you need in your life and nothing else could be added to this. I also don't think that Peter is saying that, you know, when you start out as a Christian, all you have is faith. You don't have any of the rest of this. And, you know, every year, you know, you add one of these things. You know, next year I'm going to work on godliness. And the year after that, I'll throw in some perseverance and so on. That's not really how the Christian life works. And that's really not what Peter is saying. In fact, in verse 8, he actually says that in a sense, we already have all of these things. We already have obtained them because the Holy Spirit of God is in us. And yet the idea is we need to be growing in all of these areas the longer that we walk with Jesus. And so with that understanding, I don't even think that these seven things are necessarily in a specific order for a reason, with the exception of this. I think it's significant that the list starts with the word faith. Because faith is the root of every Christian virtue. And I think it's significant that the list ends with love. Because love is the ultimate fruit of the Christian life. That's what Peter said in his first letter. In fact, would you read this verse out loud with me together? 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. The Bible says that love is the ultimate test of whether or not we know Christ. If we don't have love, it doesn't really matter what else we say or what else we do. So let's pray, church family, that this would be a year that many people grow in Christ, starting with us in this room right now, but then extending to all the new believers that by God's grace he's going to bring into our church this year, that they would not only meet Christ this year, but they would grow as disciples of Christ this year as well. Now again, how can we do that? Practically speaking, how do we give that maximum effort with the power that he provides to pursue a growth in Christ's likeness? Well, there's no secret way to do that. There's no shortcut to do that. I hope you'll hear this truth and take it in today. We will only grow to be more like Christ by spending more time with Christ. We will only grow to be more like Christ by spending more time with Christ. That starts with our own personal daily time alone with God. Some people call it a quiet time or a devotional time. Doesn't matter what we call it, it just matters that we do it. If you don't have a place to start, go out in the lobby today and pick up that 40-day devotional that our pastors have written on 40 key chapters in the Bible and use that for the first 40 days. After that, you can go to a website like Bible Gateway or many others. You can print off a Bible reading plan for yourself for the year. Get an app on your phone. Set a time that you can be consistent with and just start. Take time to read the word, write down what he's teaching you, pray. Spend time with him. If you miss a day, don't give up all hope. Just start again the next day and keep on going. God has designed it so that we grow individually as we spend time alone with him. But God has also designed it where we grow together in a church family. He's designed it for us to spur each other on and encourage each other to growth in Christ. And that's why I want to encourage you, if you want to grow in Christ this year, be committed to the corporate worship gatherings of the church each and every week. Make that commitment on the first Sunday of the year that unless I'm providentially hindered, unless I'm sick with the flu or I'm in Canada, I'm going to be here because I need it. My soul needs it. And the people around me need it. They need me to be here to encourage them. I want to encourage you also, as we talked a lot about last year, bring your family with you to worship. Bring your kids. Bring your teenagers. You say, well, I'm only here 1 hour there, and they're in the other hour in the youth group or in the kids area. Well, maybe think about coming a second hour. You can serve the other hour. We got a lot for you to do. Or you can be in a small group, as I'll talk about in a moment. And then have one of the 2 hours where you come together as a family with your kids and with your teens. You say, well, my kids are going to make noise, Pastor. You don't know my kids. They're going to make noise. I say this all the time. I love to hear the sound of children in this worship center. Because I think the sound of children learning about God is a beautiful sound. Not only to my ears, but I believe to the Lord's. And then also, in addition to being committed to our corporate worship times together, I want to encourage you this year to be committed to a small group Bible study that meets sometime during the week, where you can grow, where you can help others to grow. I think this is one of the biggest prayer requests I have for our church this year. It's one of the things that's heaviest on my heart. Because in the last 2 years, we've seen nearly 500 people join our church. That's amazing. Praise God. But not all of those 500 people are right now a part of a small group where they're learning and they're growing. And, you know, my heart's desire for our church is that we would not view our faith as something that I just come and I sit and I watch. But rather, we would understand God wants us to be in the game. He wants us to be on the field. And we help each other grow, and we're a part of a small group where we get to know other people in the life of our church. We have groups on Sunday morning. We have groups every single day of the week. I want to encourage you. That might be the next step for you in 2026 to join one of our small groups. Speaking of groups, I got a lot to share with you about groups. I'll try to do it quickly. You know how, you probably heard the expression, new year, new you, right? New year, new you. Well, here at our church this year, the expression is new year, new groups. Because we got a lot of new things going on with our groups. So let me mention those quickly. First of all, we have a new name for our groups. Our groups are now called launch groups. Now, a little backstory on that. For many years, we called our groups Sunday school. And I'm a little nostalgic about the name Sunday school because that's how I grew up. They were always called Sunday school. But not all of our groups are on Sundays, and so we couldn't call that Sunday school anymore. For a few years, we used the word life group to describe our groups. I like that because we do life together in our groups. For the last couple of years, I think we've just called them groups, which is accurate but kind of boring. I'm a lot more excited about this name, launch groups, because it does tie in with the vision that God has given our church of our Launch 10X vision. And here's why the name matters. Now, some of the things that have to do with our groups, of course, are not going to change. Our groups are still going to be places where we study the Word of God line by line. Our small groups are going to be places where we fellowship together, where we do ministry together, where we pray for each other, encourage each other, care for each other. All of that continues. But here's what's implied by the name launch group. What's implied is this. God's given us a vision of planting 10 churches in the next 10 years, of raising up 100 missionaries, of raising up 1,000 leaders, seeing 10,000 disciples made here and around the world. That will only happen, I believe, if God raises up people from our groups and sends them out on the mission that he has for them. And so my prayer is that everyone in our church would be a part of a group and that we would view our groups as a launching pad for the mission that God has for us. That you would literally view your small group like it's launch pad A at Kennedy Space Center. That's the place where people meet Christ, where they grow in Christ, and where they take off like a rocket on the mission God has for their life, whether that's to serve him here in Melbourne or whether that's to serve him on the other side of the world. So we have a new name for our groups, launch groups. We also have a new study that all of our groups are going to be doing in the next 2 months, in January and February. It's a 6-week study. and it's called Flight School. I think we have a picture of what the cover looks like, of Flight School. This material has been written by our pastors. And the reason why we sat down to write this is again, because of how many new believers that God in His grace has been bringing to our church. And we know we have a responsibility to teach some of the basic principles of how you follow Christ as a disciple to all of those new believers. And that's what this Flight School is about. It's about, how do I have a quiet time? How do I pray? How do I overcome temptation? How do I deal with trials? How do I discover my spiritual gifts? How do I serve the Lord? These are things every Christian needs to know about. Now, for some of you, walk with the Lord a long time. Some of this is going to be a reminder and a review, but I pray God will use it to bless you. And for others, you'll be hearing some of this for the very first time. I am so excited about how God's going to use Flight School in the next couple of months. And in addition to all of our existing groups going through Flight School, we're also going to be starting new groups. Starting in 2 weeks, on January 18th, 7 new groups that will be Flight School groups using this material. They're going to be led by 7 of our church's pastors. I'm personally excited about leading one of these 6-week groups. And again, it starts in 2 weeks. And so these are for those who are not already in an existing group, because if you are, you'll already be going through this. But if you're not in a group yet, I encourage you to go out to the lobby today, right after the service, to the groups table, sign up for one of these 7 groups that starts in 2 weeks. Or if not, you can take your connection card and just write the word Flight School on there, put your name on there, and we'll help you get connected to one of those new groups. We've already seen 2 of the prayer requests for this year, for 2026, that in this year we'd see more and more people meet Christ. We'd see more and more people grow in Christ. Lastly, let's also pray that this year at our church, we'd see more and more people go on mission with Christ. Look at the last verse of our text, verse 8. Peter says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, if these things are yours and abound, if you already have them, and then these qualities are increasing, they're growing in your life, they're abounding. The word literally means they're overflowing. If that is happening, what will be the result? Peter says, you will not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The words barren and fruitful are, of course, agricultural terms. Forgive the double negative here, but Peter is saying if we are overflowing with the character of Christ, we won't be a field that doesn't produce fruit. We won't be like the seed that Jesus talked about that falls among the thorns and gets choked out by the cares of this world. But instead, we'll be like this. Matthew 13, "But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Christian, is that not what you want in 2026? Can someone say amen if that's what you want in 2026? That your life would bear fruit to the glory of your God. That because of the way you walk closely with Jesus, because of His divine power in you, because of the character of Christ growing in you, that your life would have an impact on the people around you. That there would be some people who would come to know Jesus this year because they met you. There would be some people who would grow as Christians this year because they met you and because you spent time pouring into their life and investing in their life and sharing with them some of the things that God has shared with you. That's my prayer for this next year for my own life. It's my prayer for our church. And really, that's what our mission as a church is about, isn't it? Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all the nations. The way we put that around here is this: we exist to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God. For that to happen, church, we can't sit idly by. We can't stay comfortable in the safety of this room. We can't be complacent. We must allow the love of Christ to compel us to go out into that harvest field to those 500,000 lost people who live right here in the Space Coast. To live on mission wherever and however King Jesus commands us to in 2026. Remember, that's what the dot means in our church's logo. Those dots in the middle, of course, represent the cross. That's the gospel of Jesus, how he died for our sins and rose again to save us. The dots around that cross represent our church, how we've been saved by his grace and brought together around the cross. And then that dot that's up in the top right-hand corner that every OCD person like me wants to grab and put back in the box, that dot represents mission. And every time you drive out of this parking lot, every time you see that logo on the back of someone's car, I want you to see that dot in the top right corner. I want you to think about those words, be the dot. Be the dot. Live on mission. For some of us, that's going to be here in Melbourne and Palm Bay. I'm so excited about some of the ways our people are living on mission. Reaching people in the swamps with an airboat ministry. Reaching people in nightclubs. Reaching people at pregnancy centers. On mission for King Jesus. Maybe this next year, God's going to call you to go on mission by being a part of a church plant in St. Cloud to reach a community with the gospel. If so, we'll celebrate that. Maybe God's going to call you on mission this year to go on one of the 30 mission trips we have planned all over the world. We need you to go. Maybe some of you this year, God's going to call you to be one of our 100 we've been praying for. To say, God's calling me to give my life among the nations, among a group of people who have not heard the name of Jesus. As we think about all we've seen in God's word today and all that is ahead of us in this new year, I want to ask you to pray two prayers right now to God. And I'm going to give you a minute just to spend with the Lord. And I just want you to pray these two things. And just ask God to say to you what he would say to you in response to these two questions. You might want to write down what he says to you. Make a note of it. Here's the first prayer. Lord, where do you want me to grow? In 2026, where do you want me to grow? What area of my life are you calling me to grow in to be more like Christ? The second question, Lord, where do you want me to go? In other words, how are you calling me to serve you and make disciples in this new year? And just tell him, yes, Lord, you're my Lord. So the answer is always yes. Whatever you call me to do, wherever you call me to go, take a moment, pray about that. And I'll pray for us here in just a moment. Oh, Lord, we thank you for being so gracious to sinners like us. Thank you for sending your only Son who died for our sin and rose again so that we could be saved. Lord, I thank you for the great and precious promises you've given to us in Christ that can never be taken away. Lord, this year, would you help us to grow in Christ? Lord, that the end of 2026 would find us closer to Jesus than the beginning. That his character, his love, his kindness would be more evident in our life because of your power at work in us. Because of the time we've spent in your presence being changed by you. Lord, we also ask that question today, where do you want us to go? How do you want us to serve? We don't want to waste this year that you've given us, Father. We want to invest it. We want to use it to the max. That lives would be changed. Lord, we pray this next year we would see hundreds and hundreds thousands of our neighbors across the Space Coast come to know Christ. That you would use not only our church, but Father, every church in the Space Coast where your word is taught. That your glory would fall on this county. Father, that in and through our church, you would send us all over the world to people whose names we haven't learned yet. But Father, through our witness, they might come to know Jesus and become our brothers and our sisters forever. God, may you receive the glory for what you will do. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's message. If this sermon encouraged or challenged you, be sure to subscribe and share it with a friend. To find more sermons, resources, or ways to get connected, visit fbcmel.info. And as always, have a great week on mission with King Jesus.